Good morning. So I was hanging out with some friends the other week. And I've done this before with various groups of people where you sit around and it's almost kind of like an exercise. I like to think of it as a little bit of a exercise for my mind. You can pick just about any subject you want to. One of my favorites is songs or musical groups. Restaurants, bars, whatever, I don't care. But you pick one. Those of you that are maybe, I don't know, through the greatness of YouTube that we all now get to use and get to look things up, might remember David Letterman. David Letterman had a top 10 list, and some of them were pretty funny, I have to admit. I actually looked some of them up when I was doing this whole top 5 list, and so those of you that remember David Letterman, spend some time, maybe get caught back up. He had some pretty good ones. But the one thing I like about this is, and I think 5 is a good number, you can use 3, whatever, but 5 is a pretty good number. And then you pick your favorite, and you tell everybody you're sitting around with, and you're going to potentially get some arguments, disagreements. They're going to tell you theirs and try to justify theirs. So that's where the whole mind exercise comes in. The musical thing, that can really get out of hand, trying to justify your favorite group, your favorite songs. If you're in what I call mixed company, when I look at the younger kid, you know, group, that can get really like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not even going to argue with you because I don't know who that is. And, you know, supposedly it would work the opposite way and you'd be like the Beatles. Really? What? Really? And then I would have to make my case for why they were potentially one of the greatest musical groups of all time. But that being said, places to see is also a good one. You can talk about where you've been. And the one thing I really like about this, there's no game board required, no game pieces, you don't need anything. And you're probably going to get to know the people you're sitting there with a lot better. It's a great way to get to know somebody. Because when you think about it, if Denise were to share her top 5 musical groups, which none of which would match mine, I guarantee you, you would get to know about her musical tastes. Top 5 restaurants, you would get to know what they like to eat. Top 5 vacation destinations or places they want to go, you would get to know about their habits and what drives them and what makes them happy. And just to tie this in with the fact that we're sitting here in church this morning, I thought about a top 5 list that maybe we take home with us this week and think about. And that was top 5 ways that I could be a better Christian. I dabbled with it a little bit, and it was a tough one. It's a tough one coming up with that top 5. There's plenty of them. That's not the problem. I had plenty of things that I could put on there that I could do to be better as a Christian. But to put them in order, you know, is where it gets fun sometimes. So try that this week. Maybe take a couple minutes. I had some fun, and this was more of just a comical exercise, and I thought about the top 5 reasons why I'm a Christian. I would argue anybody and debate over the fact that at number 1 on my list, without a doubt, was salvation and eternal life. But if you want to dabble with that one too. So that was one of the things I wanted to share this morning before I got into my message. Have some fun when you're sitting around with some people. Don't have to take anything with you. Just your top 5 favorites in certain categories and sharing with the people around you. Pray with me, please. Father, this morning I ask your blessing upon these words that I'm about to share. Mostly that the things that I share direct people to your word, your scripture. I ask that I might provoke some thoughts that help us to be better in our lives and our daily walk this week with you, Father. I thank you for your presence here with us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So, a lot going on in my life this past week, and I promised Denise I wouldn't get too into that just because it's an emotional subject. Oh, but before I forget, you can take Kendall off the list. Thank you so much. One of the things that I was back and forth about what I wanted to talk about this morning, but I just want to throw in the fact that the genuine concern and care and the fact that we have so many people that I know are praying when there is an issue in their lives, when we share that and lift that up, is appreciated. Kendall is pretty much 90-some percent. We're still not 100% sure what happened, but as you can imagine, it's very concerning when you're in an emergency room with your teenage daughter and you don't know what's happening. So thank you for that. But this past week, so Friday I was at a funeral. I'm going to one when I leave here, and I'm going to one on Tuesday. And part of me is kind of curious how things are going to shake out and what's going to be said when people speak at those various services. Three very different scenarios. One was an 89-year woman, a mother of a friend of mine that I've known since I'm 16, who dealt with Alzheimer's and dementia, and it was a blessing. She went home. So different vibe, different feeling when you're there. And I heard the expression, grace of God, many times. And then the one that I'll be going to this afternoon was a gentleman that worked for me, 25 years old, committed suicide. No clue, didn't see it coming. And I'm interested how that's going to go and what's going to be said there. Disappointment on my part in many ways, but then some anger. And I don't know where the family's at right now. I've talked with some of them briefly over the course of the past week, but I just wonder sometimes when we talk about the grace of God, where that gentleman was at in his life and what could have been different had he known the grace of God. And then Tuesday I will be at services for a gentleman that I met a few years ago and became a good friend through camping. He's 2 months older than me, cancer. And that's probably the one I'm going to struggle with the hardest. That's going to be the tough one because it just wasn't time. But God thought it was. But the good thing about that is I know he knew the grace of God, and that made it a lot easier for me. So when I approach that one, that is going to be comforting to me. So we talk about the grace of God, and I want to talk about Scripture a little bit and teaching and helping people find their way to the grace of God because of those things that, again, I spoke to once before. I know when I was up here, but was reminded too many times this past week. Main scripture this morning, Exodus 18, 21 through 23. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them, to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So there was a couple things that stuck out with that scripture, and if I remember correctly, and I'll look, I don't know, there's a lot of people out there better than me, but I believe that was Moses' father-in-law speaking to Moses, if I'm correct. Obviously, I try to break it down, but I always encourage people to look at the scripture in context. I break out a small piece of it that I'm trying to share something that will take you in a certain direction, and that's really was him saying, hey, you can't do this all by yourself, Moses. And it would be a shame if you did not pass along and share your wisdom to other people. Because so many people will get overlooked. So you need to focus on the really important, heavy stuff. and let some other people help you out and get the word to those people so that so many more people will be able to find their peace and their grace from God, because you can't do it all by yourself. I think that's one of the wonderful things about church, that we are able to get together and we're able to share thoughts and talk about different things and different ways to approach our Christian life. I think that's why church is so important, to be able to come here together, to talk with each other, share ideas, thoughts, different ways to approach things. And I think that's kind of what this really alluded to. The fact is, like, hey, you know, if you don't share your wisdom and let others teach, then so many people are going to miss out. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, taking the approach, the fact that I really want to talk about teaching today, and that's what this is all about, teaching to hopefully take you to the right place in your life. This scripture is really what I like to talk about a lot of times, because it reminds us that you need to use the scripture for teaching. That's the final word. No matter what I say up here, no matter what anybody, it doesn't matter who's standing up here, no matter what they say, ultimately, go to the scripture. It's great for teaching. It's great for rebuking, for those times when somebody might throw something at you that makes absolutely no sense, and maybe you want to have a spirited debate with them about that. Correcting people. I know there's been many times where I've looked at scripture, and sometimes it's just a interpretation issue, and that's where prayer comes in sometimes, because ultimately, when we do read the scripture, you can interpret it many different ways. But this tells us that if you do go to the scripture, it's God's final word. You are going to be thoroughly equipped and ready to teach his word and share his word with others. So I thought that was huge when I was looking at, you know, the scripture about teaching. This probably is the one that I think sums it up the best in just a very, you know, few words. Acts 20:22-24. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So there's that grace of God thing again that I was kind of back and forth about this week, and the fact that, and again, this is Paul, I believe, speaking to the elders. He brought a bunch of people together, again, sharing his information. The fact that going out and teaching was important, that even though he faced countless hurdles, potentially life-threatening danger, that was why he was here. His life was meaningless. Now, I'm not saying we go out and potentially get ourselves killed, but there are plenty of countries where that exact thing does happen. I can't imagine a struggle as a Christian in a place like that. You know, on one hand, you've got your life ahead of you. You've received Christ in your life. You are driven by the Holy Spirit. But man, what a struggle that must be, to know that if you want to share that, potentially your life will be ended. You know, we deal with the things in this country, and it's funny how we take things to the extreme and make so much out of so little sometimes in this country. When we think about, you know, what fires people up, what creates controversy. But at the end of the day, someone might look at me funny if I want to share God's word. If I say something, I might get the raised eyebrow. Plenty of churches now are being basically ostracized because of their beliefs in this country. Again, it's not what I have to say. It's not what I think. It's what Scripture tells me. I often say you're welcome to disagree with me. But in this country, typically the worst you're going to get is someone might say something rude to you, might call you something. I know there are certain places where people have lost their lives, but it's typically rare in this country. So we're fortunate in that respect that we get to have our beliefs, share those beliefs if we care to. So when it comes to that, and when it comes to the time when you want to share something, think about the people that can't share. Shouldn't say can't, they could. I sure am not going to fault anybody for the fact that they won't give up their life or don't want to lose their life. That's why I say I can't imagine what that struggle is like for a Christian in one of those countries. You know, it's kind of like the seesaw of emotions. I got this great news. I now know the grace of God. I just want to share it. I just want to talk about it. I love music. All kinds of music. If you saw my playlist, it's all over the place. I shared that before. I actually thought about playing it, but I'll spare you the whole song. But Brooks and Dunn, Believe. If you have a chance to listen to it, just go on YouTube. If you've never heard the song, again, Brooks and Dunn sings it. And the name of the song is Believe. I think of it as a country hymnal. There's a couple verses in there where it lends itself to a non-scriptural teaching, so to speak. And I think sometimes that's fine because, again, at the end of the day, ultimately, you want to bring people to the Scripture. Anything I'm saying is not end-all, be-all. It's just to take you somewhere. And in a song, he has an older neighbor, old man Wrigley, and he's talking to him one day. He's a younger kid, teens, when he meets this gentleman. And they're talking about the fact that he doesn't understand how this gentleman deals with the fact that he had lost his spouse and his child. And he goes on to talk about basically the words written in red and how he understands the truth more and more because of those words and reading those words. Of course, referring to the fact that he knows God and he reads Scripture. And he shares this with this young man. And ultimately, he goes off to college, and he gets a call from his mom, and he's talking, and she lets him know that Mr. Wrigley's passed. And by this time, he remembered all his talks with Mr. Wrigley. And I get the impression when I listen to the song, or at least in my mind, that he has found God. And he repeats and talks about the words that are written in red. And one line that kind of ties a lot of the things I talked about this morning together. Because of that teaching, because of those words that he read in the Scripture, he says, I can't quote the book, the chapter or the verse, which is me many days, but you can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. It talks about the fact that there's more to life. And that is not the end if you read Scripture and get to know what it's all about. So if you have a chance, and even if you're not a country music fan, it's awesome. The other one, and I'm one of those melancholy type of people, so because of everything that was going on this week in my life, I don't know if my wife picked up on, I'll be sitting out in the back porch, and I got my iPhone out, and that was one of the songs that I listened to numerous times this past week. Some of you may also know this song, Randy Travis. Again, country, sorry. It's not all I listen to. I listen to everything. Unclouded Day. Some of you might know that hymnal. He does a great version. But it's one of those uplifting because he talks about that place where there's no more clouds. I'm going to need my glasses on that one. I want to wrap it up this morning. I found this when I was bouncing around in Timothy. And I just thought this was kind of poetic and summed up a lot of things. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Numerous references in there about teaching. There's a right way to teach. That way may be different based on who you're talking to, but it talks about that gentle teaching, not being quarrelsome, and about leading them to the knowledge that they need in life. This is the one that just kind of, at the end of the day, if we do all that, if we teach, if we read, 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. At the end of the day, it's got to be pretty bad for the Lord to just say, hey, at the end of the day, if we do the right things, he's always going to be there for us. Don't forget your top five list this week. Think about what maybe I know I'm going to do a little bit more work on that one about what I can do to be a better Christian. You can even just take it as simple as better friend, better spouse, better brother, better sister, because ultimately some of the scripture that we read this morning told us about there's a proper way to approach teaching. And sometimes that connection you form with that other person is going to help you to take them to the place they need to get to. Anybody has any needs of the church this morning? Please come forward as we sing.